Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you because there's no other God like you. Thank you for the truth of your word and for the absoluteness of your word and of what you have done in your Son, Christ Jesus. We give you all the praise. Father, as we get into your word again today, we ask that our eyes of understanding is enlightened. Much more than that, that conviction, persuasion, resolve is built within us to pursue and to live by the design of your word. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, let's press in a little bit more with the word of, you know, with the topic we've started today. I'm going to give us some initial thoughts, about 1, 2, 3 thoughts, then we get to some contents today. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Let's just open there. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. But before, you know, as we open there, I want us to understand that there is a profound gravity of the responsibility that God has given to us. It's the gravity of that responsibility is so profound, okay, in that what he did, he has committed to an Audrey, he has committed to an Ayo, he has committed to a Mark, he has committed to all of us. What God did, he committed to us. I think we've talked about that a little bit, you know, in this series. But then what makes it profound, what makes it, you know, gives it the weight is that if anyone, and I want us to listen to this, if anyone will get to know what God did today, it is because you obeyed. If Mr. B, okay, or Mrs. C, or Madam A, will get to know of what God has done. It's not the case that God has not done it. It is in our obedience that will happen. I just want to think about that, all right? And it's just one of the initial thoughts that I want us to understand today. If anyone will hear the message of Christ today, all right, it will be through our obedience that I gave away my excuses, gave away my preferences, gave away, and I chose to run with what God has said. All right? All the limitations of, oh, I am not fluent, or I cannot. If we are waiting for fluency or oratory or to be perfect, I've told us we don't need to be perfect to preach this gospel. It's not with excellence of speech or with eloquence, though they may have a place, but what we're saying is just teach to someone. If I've asked, you know, who is 2 years old, you know, amongst all three, all right, to give you a chocolate, all right, it wouldn't make that chocolate taste any better than when I ask a 30-year-old. Hallelujah. What we are presenting, all right, is the message of Christ. And that if anyone will listen to that message, we get to know, we have a chance to be saved, it is because we have yielded our will. Our will in this is so important. And that's my persuasion to us this morning. Obedience is key, all right? It will be because the believer has recognized how sacred this trust is and has acted on what, or has acted or is acting on what God has committed to us. We're talking about around, all right? It will be because we are yielding our will. We are obeying. So can you imagine that my obedience can stand, my obedience or disobedience can stand between the will of God? And God will just, why God chose to do it that way? Honestly, at times, when we see him, we ask him. Okay? Have you thought about it? Cornelius in Acts chapter 6 was praying. He said, well, your prayer had come to me as a memorial. All right? Hey, but just deal with Cornelius. Was that man Cornelius? Yeah, it's Cornelius, Acts chapter 6, right? Just deal with him. Why must you send Peter? Why must Peter come and still preach? All right? God, this Bible says this man is devout. He gives offering. He's a very, you know, devout man. But yet, there is something he must get to know. Okay? And, you know, you know, simultaneously, God will arrange another event, circumstance with Peter, that you need to go to this man. And he was walking pari passu, you know, the, both of them together. And, you know, Peter will now come. Peter, I like the way he puts it. Let's read Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'm not sure New King James Version puts it there, but let's see. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. We're coming back to this place. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Is this 7? Let me get there. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, sorry. Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Apologies for that. Verse 6. Acts 10, 6. Forgive me. Acts 10. 6. Is that 6? Not Amplified, New King James Version. Yeah, look at it. I want us to read it together. Now, this is the angel telling Nicodemus, okay? He says, so that Paul, that he there is Paul, he says, he is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now, look at it. He says, he will tell you what you must do. So there's something you must do to be saved. Are you getting the point? All right. So he gives offering. He prays very good things. We are not all right. But then there is something the man must do to be saved. All right. And if Cornelius will do these things, it is dependent on whose obedience? On Peter's obedience. All right. It's dependent on your obedience. Preach this gospel, to communicate this gospel to some thoughts I wanted to think about, okay? That we need to see how sacred the difference between eternal damnation, all right, and eternal salvation is in our obedience. My being committed, my just obeying what God has said. And it doesn't matter to anybody, to anyone. Hallelujah. A neighbor, a colleague, a friend, someone, you know, on the street, a gym mate, somebody. All right, must hear this gospel from us. That's number one. Number two, I want us to think about this very well, that excuses really reveals our priority and our values. You know why? Because the things that matters to you, that is very important to you, you don't give excuse about them. Have you thought about it? All right, the things that you keep giving excuse, oh, tomorrow, oh, I don't want, okay, the things that you, that we all excuse, they are things it reveals our import, that reveals our priorities and our value. All right, if it is important to you, you will find a way to do it somehow. All right, if it's important to you, you won't just keep giving excuse month in, month out, week in, every day. Even if it's in the dying minute, all right, you will find a way to do it. Hallelujah. Such is the attitude we must have towards the gospel, by not giving excuses. All right, let me read my thought that I kept here. I said, excuses, all right, reveals our values and our priorities. If you keep making excuses about something, it shows it's not important to you. And that shouldn't be our disposition to this gospel. We shouldn't treat it as if it's not important. Hallelujah. Because it's such an important trust, a holy responsibility, a sacred trust that has been committed to our hands. What would that mean? It means that I will talk about that shortly. We will take it upon ourselves to preach this gospel. We take it upon ourselves. So again, and we've clarified what we are teaching. Well, we said this gospel is about Christ Jesus. We will go all out and preach this gospel. Because when something truly matters, all right, we will find a way to do it. All right? Such a sacred responsibility has been committed to our hands, and it leaves no room for excuses. It leaves no room. We can't complain about it. That, it's my job, it's my this, it's my... Well, if it's that important, all right, we will find a way to do it. All right? We will find a way to do it. We will preach the gospel, we will meet with other believers, all right? Let me wrap up that. oh, we didn't read that scripture that I said we're going to read. I've moved on. Let's come back. We'll come back to it. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We'll still read that, Romans 10, 14. We didn't read it at the end of the day, but we're going to read it as we continue. Romans chapter 1, 15 and 16. If something is important, all right, we will find a way to do it. Let's look at Paul. See what he said, Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He says, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Did you see the point? He says, that word ready means I am eager. It's on my to-do, is on the top of my to-do list. It's something that I've kept in my front burner. I can afford not to deal with it. Hallelujah. Why are we saying this? We're going to talk about it shortly. All right? Because it is a value to Paul. See what he said in verse 16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. What are we discussing? We're just some initial thoughts about being an herald of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuses reveals our power. There are some things, I give excuses as well, but because they are not important to me about some things. Oh, sorry. Oh, God. Oh, there was a party. Oh, so, but there are some things I can't just... when it comes to my family, my faith, very, very, right? I can't just keep making excuses about what is important. I can't. All right? Look at this again. Look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. It was in this context talking about, of course, you're going to see what he's talking about. All right? I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Did you see? I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Maybe we should start from, did I miss verse, there's a bit that I want us to look at. Okay. Please, let's start from 16. 16. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here. It says, for if I preach the gospel, I have... Let's start from 15, sorry, forgive me. 15, let's start from 15. Thank you. Okay, let's go. He says, but I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so for me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. Verse 16. Let's read verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. Yeah, that's the point I'm looking for. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. This necessity is the necessity for preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the attitude. Look at the mindset. Look at the thing. You know, I at times when I read my Bible, I read those attitudes into it. Not just the words and shading. It says necessity is laid upon me. Yes, it says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Oh boy. Look at that. That stance towards the trust, towards the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul did not meet Jesus. He told us that I received this gospel and he has so received it. And, you know, look at the passion behind it. It is important to him. He wouldn't make any excuse about preaching this gospel. All right? If I did not preach the gospel, verse 17. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. There's no doubt. But look at it. I want us to look at it again. He said, but if I do it against my will, meaning at times I don't even want to do it. He said, well, I have to do it because I have been entrusted with a stewardship. You see the point? All right, and we read earlier, it is required of a steward to be faithful, to be committed, to deliver on the job. Okay, I do it willingly, no doubt. But even at times when I better obey because there is a stewardship that has been committed to my hands. All right, so we don't make excuses for things that are important. All right? We've gone around this narrative about the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That is not a private faith. It's not just my me and my faith. I just want to do it in my bedroom alone. And I will join online. And I will just do it. Nobody knows. No, we must know you for your faith. Your faith must have an impact on other people. You must preach this gospel. It's not practiced in silence. No, it is acted out boldly by declaring it to people. Therein is the power to save a man. Hallelujah. Let's just read on quickly. So let's have that at the back of our mind. Number two, we've talked about the gravity, all right, of this responsibility. It depends on your obedience, all right? It's very important. Now, another initial thought, okay, maybe three or so, all right, is that the initiative to preach the gospel, all right, is on you, is on me as a believer. All right? You know, the way it is, whether you pray as a believer or you don't pray, that initiative is on you. All right? It's on me. Is the believer's responsibility to pray. Okay, I just want us to know that evangelism is not necessarily a church activity. Though we say, okay, let's come and pray, all right? But if you wait for that, if your prayer life is just based on, oh, if the church doesn't pray, then I don't pray. I wonder. Okay? Though the church you help, you encourage, you model, you teach, all right? But it is that idea, that in it, the your obedience to that call is your initiative. Because see, I was thinking about this during the week, that on the day when we all stand before Christ Jesus, you won't see Ayo there. Ayo too is waiting to receive his own reward. All right? When we all stand before Christ, you're not standing before Ayo. You are going to stand before Christ. All right? And you're going to give an account of what we have done with this gospel, with what has been entrusted to all of us. Hallelujah. All right, let me just read this out quickly. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. We're going to read that quickly. All right, the initiative to preach the gospel begins in your own heart. No one can force it into you. And no position in church can replace a personal conviction. What I'm trying to say with that, you don't need a position. I'm the leader in church, or I'm the pastor, then I will preach. Or because I don't have any position, I am just, and so I won't preach. No, that's not the way to look at it. All right? Whether you are a pastor or you are, you should take the initiative to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to spell out these things clearly. So that we know. I'll read some more from here. All right. Let your service flow from a deep gratitude to the one who saved you. All right. And has committed you to go. All right. You're preaching the gospel. Because I've seen some in my few Christian journey or walk with God. You know, when some folks move to a place where maybe the church you were attending before. Because they don't do evangelism, quote unquote, which is wrong. I wonder why a church wouldn't evangelize, wouldn't take it seriously and encourage people. But let's not get into all of those conversations now. So because now you've come into them and now they don't do it, you've sat down. No. No. 1,000 times, in fact, 1,000,000 times, no. That responsibility to take the gospel of Christ Jesus and preach it is your responsibility. Remember when I first got to church and I was wondering, got to Jersey rather, all right, I just take it upon myself that I will just preach the gospel. And Saturday mornings, I will walk towards the beach, towards La Frigate is my target point, and I meet different people there every Saturday morning. And they're just sitting still, and I just walk up to them. I will share some of my stuff with you. What's exciting you this morning? What's your motivation? All right, I can see you're just here, and whatever he says, whether excited or not, the next response is the gospel, straight. I just want to get him to talk. All right, tell me what's in your mind currently, particularly now that it's Christmas. Everybody is talking about Christmas. Let your response be, do you really know about this Christmas? Tell them the gospel. Preach the gospel. We've told ourselves we are not about to convert anyone. We're just putting the seed. And so that the Holy Spirit can walk with those words that they've had. See, the Holy Spirit can arrange circumstances to help people believe. It does. Oh, it does. It does. All right? So, your devotion, you don't need an office to be devoted. You simply need a willing heart that says, Lord, I will serve you. That's what I said many years ago. You know, I said, Lord, myself and you, we will change this world. Myself and you, we will preach this gospel. I don't even know where that came from. I was just so sure that I don't need any other person. Get that context right. That I'm just enough. Once God is on my side, I will preach this gospel. I just took that responsibility. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage us with such responsibility as well. Don't wait. Don't try to preach with all of the slides and all of the scriptures correct. No. All right? Just go ahead and preach the gospel. Let's read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Let's read. It says, and Jesus came. We're going to read verse 19. Verse 19 is important. Sorry. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Please, let's do verse 19. It says, go therefore. That's the instruction. Go. You get it. Go. Obey this command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, bringing them, baptizing them into the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've clarified that. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. Wow, I like this. It says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And I like this bit. So Jesus did not just absorb himself. That I've done my bit, you just go. No, he says, look at it. Lo, I am with you. Can you imagine that God is with us to do this work? And at times we make excuses. Or we say, oh, it's Saturday morning. I just want to sleep some extra. Or it's busy. I'm going to the office Saturday morning. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All right, okay. He says, I am with you, meaning he's with you. God is eager. And we can limit him with our disobedience, with our excuses, with our, okay, I don't like the way, we can limit what God wants to do with all of those. He's with us. He's with you. All right, you just need that impetus. You know what, by the time you've started, all right, you will find out that it's the best thing you can do with your life. It's the best thing you can do with your life. It's the best thing I can do with my life to go about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so choose to obey Jesus today. Okay, pick that responsibility of loving people and discipling them. You don't need a I've done that all my life. All right, you know. This will be the first church I will pastor. Okay, I did some bit on campus. But I'd always been a church person. Always, regular church person. All true. All right? I started holding microphone when we started here in church. And the last time that happened was on campus. I don't want to tell you the year. This one is. All right? Then, so there will be a space. We left campus 2005, 2006. There'll be a space of that time. And when did we start? 2022, before the next microphone. All I was doing is, I served in children's church. All right? I was in choir. They chased me. We said, my voice is cut. I joined the drama. I was just laughing. They said, you guys can't act. Just go. All right? Then I did some drums. I tried to learn the keyboard. I just didn't get it. But I was just, the thing I was doing is, okay, nobody will send me away from children's church, okay? I would teach them this gospel. Jesus died. He was buried. He resurrected. That's what I was teaching them. In a local church. All right? So it's not about tie. Dad, I'd always dress this way, even to the children's church anyway. But then, the point is that you take that response, and on any Wednesday that I'm free, I'm out. All right? In the vicinity where I grew up, everybody in that village knew that. They call me Dotso. All right, that he's a believer. Because there's no house to the right, to the left, in all of that street that I didn't preach the gospel to. Everybody knew. Everybody. They knew me for my faith. I was 18. I was 17, 18. All right. I was about that time. about, I was just all about preaching this gospel. And I was taught. I was persuaded. I was taught and I saw in God's word as well. This responsibility is on us that we preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is that you don't need to be a pastor to preach this gospel. Hallelujah. All of us, we have been enlisted in the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So just pick up the responsibility. All right? Let's come around. Let's just share the gospel. Let's just start praying. That's what I've been doing. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you to please take that initiative yourself, okay, and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? This is the privilege of every believer, and it is the way we honor the grace of God upon our lives. Paul will say that the grace of God upon my life was not in vain. He said he labored more than they all. All right? You know, this grace, he says, it's not in vain. It's not just there sitting, just chilling. All right? No, it's good to relax, get me right. But we must preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take it upon yourself. Find time to do it. At times also, I do catch-ups. I say, hello, John. Hello, Jonathan. Do you mind if we catch up? All right? We just catch up. And honestly, you can be sure. We talk about other things, office and all. But you can be sure I will block. You will dance around. You will come back to the gospel. You will hear the gospel. You will just hear it. All right? And it's that. It's that simple. And trust me, God is with us. He says, lo, I'm with you. I'm with you as we preach this gospel. Look at that testimony of, that Audrey just shared. He's with you. He's wanting us to do it. Hallelujah. Very important. And again, don't say, oh, I can't do it. Just start with any conversation. Just start with any conversation. Now it's Christmas, all right? What a time to talk about Jesus. All right? What a time. It's not happy holidays. It's Christmas. It's Christ. Okay? We bring it. Now that we know, we bring it into Christmas. Also into Christ. What he has done. That if you will believe in, he turns everything around. Hallelujah. Very important that we understand that. Amen and amen. All right. Let's just move on to some quick points today. Some just pressing that forward. What does this evangelism then? What does it mean to Jesus? Okay, we've talked about some points. But then we are proceeding to know what does evangelism, what does it mean to Jesus? Okay, there must be something on his mind. This purpose that God had from the beginning of the world, from before the beginning of the world, what does it mean? It must mean something. All right? If it's this, if it's this particular about it, if it's this, focused on it, he said, my word will not return unto me void. That word is what he will do in Christ Jesus. I know we use it for so many other things. That's fine. But he says, what I proposed from before the world began, that my son will die, he will be buried, and he will come up on the third day. All right? And anybody that will believe, he had proposed that from the before the beginning of the world. In between, things were like, okay, some people will not believe, Israel and all of those. He says, hey, Jeremiah, he says, my word wouldn't return unto me void. I've spoken it, and it will fulfill it. And he did, in that Christ died, and he was buried, and he rose again. All right? But then, what was on his mind? What does it mean? What does it mean to Jesus? Because, just before we get into that, there are some things that we pay attention to. That in the eternal scheme of things, in eternal scale, it does not really matter. But that's me even still giving it some value. It's zero significance. Zero value. When it comes to eternal significance, there's some things that we value, that we give so much importance. Yet, it's eternal. In the eternal perspective of things, absolute zero. Has no meaning. I'll give you some of them. Jesus met some folks. Follow me. That one said, I want to go and bury my father. legitimate, important, all right? But Jesus said, hey, let the dead bury their dead. I think Jesus must have been a very bad pastor. Pastor, my dad just died. My friend, you're not just being, what's that word? Empathic. Emotional intelligence. Jesus must have zero emotional intelligence. But no. Like my pastor, now. And also, it's Isaac that said, now. I said, now. No. 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 And honestly, get me right, all right? He said, my dad, it's my dad that died. Hey, he said, who else will bury their dead? The dead. But that's the disposition. It's a kind of is a matter of an attitude. Alright? So it means he has zero significance. He says, hey, follow me, come and taste of this eternal life. Let's preach the gospel together. Alright? Yeah. And then I would say, I just got married. Alright? You know what I'm saying? He said, I just got married. Jesus, boy, he just got married. He don't let you go to honey Jupiter, honeymoon. Hey, just follow me. Now, again, let's put that correctly. Okay? It's just telling us the attitude that we should give to the things of the kingdom of God. It's just telling us how we should approach it, how we should value it. It's not saying that we cannot look after our family. All right, it's not saying we cannot pay attention to those things, but honestly, we, like I said earlier, we cannot keep giving excuses every time, every day, every meeting. All right, no, we can't. All right, you cannot. We cannot do that. All right, another one says, "Oh, I've just bought a land. I've just bought some oxen. All right, some cows. You know, my job? Right, my employment is a farmer." I just bought some, or I've just been promoted. Say, hey, leave those things. Pay attention to the gospel. Are you getting my point, friends? Right. I just want us to see that there's a value on us when it comes to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these things, they are zero significance. Marriage. Jesus said there's no marriage in heaven. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying in that. Don't pay attention to marriage, all right? But what I'm saying is, it can't be, oh, this is my family. You know, I even hear some stuff that, you know, I don't like coming out at night. What an excuse. I don't want to come out at night. What when it's night? With the gospel? With Christ Jesus? You tell him, oh, it's cold. Do you know how the gospel got across to us? Do you know what Jesus went through? It can't be an excuse. It cannot be an excuse. It can't be an excuse. Hallelujah. We don't even travel. There's no traffic. There's no train to join. There's no bus to catch to get to church. Hallelujah. All right? So, please, I want us to place our priorities right. All right? Let's do that right. It matters to Jesus. So, what does evangelism mean to Jesus? Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 39. Let's just quickly finish this together. I hope you will like me, okay? We're just telling ourselves the truth, all right? And preparing ourselves for the harvest wall, for the harvest that is to come. Luke 36. What is evangelism? What does it mean to Jesus? Then one of the Pharisees, let's read together. I mean, let's just follow this thought together. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. All right, the Pharisees of the day, they will be the law practitioners and all of those, okay? He says, well, he asked him to eat with him. And Jesus, that's he there, is Jesus, he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. So Jesus ate. Okay, now. And this is the Pharisee's house, right? I'll give you some wine, some stuff. He just ate. Okay, praise God. Let's leave that. Now, and behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, look at this, a Pharisee, a sinner, all right? When she knew that Jesus was sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box, an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, verse 38 and 39, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now look at it, look at it. Verse 39, pay attention. When some other Pharisees, okay? When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what a manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The point is, what evangelism means to the Lord Jesus, it means that you will lay aside all of your public image. All right? What people will say or what people will do, it wouldn't matter. You get the point? All right? Laying aside public image, Jesus. No, you will lay aside all of those things. Because, see, he went, anyone that is ready to listen to the gospel, Jesus will just go ahead and preach. Be it Pharisee, be it a sinner like we've read here, all right? Jesus wouldn't pay attention to what they are saying, all right? Jesus never protected a reputation. Instead, he moved towards everyone, the broken, the religious, the rejected ones, the misunderstood, different people, the Pharisees. He went to preach the gospel to everyone. Hallelujah. He did not allow what people will say, all right, to interrupt its mission. And this is how it should be. That's what this gospel, that is what it should. It means that there's no reputation. All right. The other day we were doing evangelism, and one of my partners says, "Well, Jesus, I just gave it to him. There's no reputation to protect. Hallelujah. I want to be seen in the light of Christ Jesus. Praise God. What does evangelism mean to Jesus? Let's read some more. Luke chapter 19, verse 2 and 5. Luke 19, 2 and 5. We said it means that there is no reputation to protect. There is no personal interest to guard. All right? They will say, what is that? If he is a prophet, he shouldn't be going to a sinner's house. Well, everybody plus sinner plus Pharisee plus everyone needs to hear the gospel. So Jesus will go towards everyone that is available. Luke chapter 19, verse 2 to 5. Well, let's start reading. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Again, look at this man. He was very rich. Verse 3. Let's do verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of a short stature. Verse 4 and 5. 4 and 5. So he ran ahead, okay? He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, all right, to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Verse 6 and 10. Let's just keep reading to verse 6 and 7. Let's do 6 and 7. So he made haste and came down.